p.m. Eastern Time on PBS stations and streaming on the PBS app.
It's All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio. Did anyone else hear that static? Trying to be static-free here on KPR. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. The low will drop to 45. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of 68. Tomorrow night, 40% chance of rain. And on Thursday, a 40% chance of showers. Here in Lawrence, cloudy and 65 degrees.
This is All Things Considered.
All Things Considered from NPR News.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. This is FM 91.5 in Lawrence and FM 90.3 in Chanute.
Support for KPR comes from the Cider Gallery, a unique gallery space featuring works by local and regional artists, open final Fridays 5 to 9, and weekly Tuesday through Friday 1 to 5 in the Warehouse Arts District in East Lawrence. Details at CiderGallery.com.
Over the past decade, there's been a striking decline in teen mental health. Many wonder if social media is causing them depression, anxiety, and loneliness. Well, finally, some studies have come in, and they offer a few answers. We'll take a closer look coming up next on KPR's All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Roar and Pour Wine Fest, an evening of wine tasting, food, and entertainment to support the work of the Topeka Zoo, April 29th. Tickets available at topekazoo.org/roarandpour.
In about 10 minutes, we'll have an update of national, international, and Kansas news headlines. Something else coming up this hour. Organ donations. Donated livers are in short supply. Way more people need transplants than can get them. But some new rules just made the problem even worse here in Kansas.
You know, frankly, my doctor was very straight with me. He said, you're not going to get one anytime soon. And I knew that, we all knew the time was running out.
Coming up later this hour, we'll hear why one Kansas man had to leave the state to get a life-saving surgery. That report from Rose Conlon of the Kansas News Service at 6:44 this evening. Cloudy tonight, a low of 45. Tomorrow we'll have a high of 68 degrees.
Support for NPR comes from this state.
And in the meantime, Elsa, are you ready for a little moment of joy?
Oh, Pram, Elsa, we talked to her about her new kids' book. It's all about standing up to bullies.
This sort of heartbreaking, tragic figure and someone who clings to others.
Unpacking Michael Jackson's complicated legacy. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That story and more when you join us for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 tomorrow morning on KPR. Tom Parkinson will be your host. Donated livers are in short supply. Way more people need transplants than can get them. But new rules just made the problem even worse in Kansas.
You know, frankly, my doctor was very straight with me. He said, you're not going to get one anytime soon. And I knew that, we all knew the time was running out.
Coming up in 15 minutes on KPR, we'll hear why one Kansas man had to leave the state to get a life-saving surgery. Cloudy skies, temps in the low to mid-60s right now. It's 65 degrees in Lawrence at 6:30.
It's All Things Considered from NPR.
Down 1%, tech-heavy NASDAQ almost 2%. This is NPR.
And this is Kansas Public Radio News. I'm Jay Schaefer. The Kansas legislature is gearing up for another battle over school funding. As Suzanne Perez reports, some lawmakers want to keep controversial policies out of that discussion.
For the past several years, Kansas lawmakers have tied K-12 funding to accountability measures or provisions such as vouchers and parental rights. Democrats say they want a straightforward school spending bill. They tried to boost special education funding as part of the legislature's overall budget package, but that measure failed in committee. Republican Representative Christy Williams says school spending comprises half the state's budget, so lawmakers should look at structural issues.
There's a lot more to this, and just giving $72 million does not answer the question and does not fix the problem.
The current school funding bill would allow some families to use state tax money to pay for private school or homeschool. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
A Lawrence teenager's been sentenced to probation for firing a gun at two pedestrians in downtown Lawrence. It's an incident that was caught on camera by a police patrol car. The Lawrence Journal-World reports that 19-year-old Trayvon D. Johnson pleaded no contest in February to two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The charges relate to an incident in August of 2022 when Johnson was hanging out of the passenger window of a car near 11th and Vermont Streets and fired at two pedestrians with whom he had been arguing. While Johnson was firing the gun, a Lawrence police officer was across the street in a parking lot and recorded the incident on his dash camera. Johnson's defense attorney said that as part of Johnson's plea arrangement, Johnson would be undertaking anger management courses. Kansas law requires that anyone who commits a felony with a gun is to serve prison time, unless a judge finds a compelling reason for that person not to go to prison. Judge Stacy Donovan sentenced Johnson to 2 years in prison, but then suspended that sentence to probation and ordered Johnson to register as a violent offender for 15 years. Judge Donovan said Johnson's lack of criminal history and the DA supporting the deal were compelling reasons for her to grant probation. A 3-year-old girl has died and a woman critically injured in a gas pump explosion in Derby. Police say a vehicle crashed into a gas pump at a Quick Trip convenience store yesterday afternoon. Still unclear what caused that vehicle to leave the roadway, but KWCH-TV reports the man driving the vehicle has been cooperating with police. The forecast for the KPR listening area, mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 45. It'll be cloudy tomorrow with a high of 68. Tomorrow night, a 40% chance of rain, and on Thursday, a 40% chance of showers. For KPR News, I'm Jay Schaefer.
From NPR News, this is all.
There is a chance that they might succeed in bringing these quarreling politicians together.
But what if these efforts fail? That's the question asked by political economist and columnist Niaz Murtaza.
Ultimately, if things get too bad and it seems like it's just becoming a bit too chaotic, they will probably reassert themselves in some way or the other.
In some way or the other. Dear Hadid, NPR News, Islamabad.
Still to come on All Things Considered, a conversation with Dolly Parton, just moments away here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Manhattan Arts Center, presenting The Sound of Music, when high-spirited Maria is sent to attend to the 7 Von Trapp children. Her and her family's lives are turned upside down as they grapple with the Nazi invasion of Austria. Fridays through Sunday, now through May 7th. Tickets at ManhattanArts.org.
This is KPR. I'm Jay Schaefer. A liver transplant can be life-saving, but there aren't nearly enough organs to go around, and a recent change in how livers are allocated across the U.S. has made it even harder for Kansans to get one. As Rose Conlon of the Kansas News Service reports, it sparked a debate about inequities at every step of the transplant process.
Last year, Gary Gray's liver disease got so bad that he started hallucinating, seeing and having conversations with people who weren't there.
Kind of an oddly funny story, but I had become convinced that my...
The Kansas News Service reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. Find more stories like this one at kansaspublicradio.org. We invite you to stick around for an evening of classical music with your host, Destiny. She'll be featuring music tonight by Beethoven, Mozart, Haydn, and Schubert. She'll also give us a Strauss waltz, the beloved Peer Gynt suite, and a violin concerto. It's one you may not be too familiar with, I'm certainly not, but it's by a very familiar composer, Schumann. And Destiny will certainly want to know what you think of it. Stick around for the classics with Destiny and Mermaiden, the classical cowgirl, tonight following the 7 o'clock news on KPR 1. If you're listening to us on KPR 2, stick around for an episode of Reveal. Mostly cloudy tonight, low of 45. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 68. And tomorrow night, a 40% chance of rain.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered.
From Cunard, offering travelers an opportunity to voyage aboard Cunard's Queen Elizabeth to Alaska. Guests can explore ports and scenic cruising through Glacier Bay National Park with locally sourced cuisine. More at Cunard.com. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Well, we caught you again, listening to Kansas Public Radio. What is it about this station that keeps you coming back time after time? Is it the programming? Is it the news? Is it this lounge music that I play between news stories? What is it that keeps you listening to KTR and has kept people listening for 70 years? Well, only you can answer that question. But I hope you enjoy what we have to offer. We've had 4 hours of solid news on All Things Considered, and coming up next, classical music with Destiny Ann Mermagan. Show some support for this station. If you're not already a listener member, feel free to make a pledge now on our website, kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks. Here's an hourly reminder. Kansas Public Radio is broadcasting from the University of Kansas. And Kansas Public Radio includes KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. You'll find all of our frequencies online at kansaspublicradio.org. Cloudy tonight, low of 45. Cloudy tomorrow, high of 68. Tomorrow night, pretty good chance of rain.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, hosting their community open house, Get to Know the Spencer Museum, May 11th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. More at spencerart.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Senate Democrats are turning up the pressure on their Republican counterparts in the House to pass a bill to raise the nation's debt ceiling without conditions. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer issued a stark warning as the House prepares to vote on a bill to lift the borrowing limit.
Majority Leader Schumer says House Republicans are presenting Americans with two options that would have disastrous consequences.
Speaker McCarthy and House Republicans want to force working Americans to accept either a punch to the gut or a blow to the head. Either the U.S. defaults on national debt for the first time in American history, or MAGA Republicans get their way and America defaults on everything else.
The Republican plan would raise the debt ceiling for the next year while slashing a number of federal assistance programs. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the GOP plan would cut the deficit by nearly $5 trillion over the next 10 years. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
A new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finds former President Donald Trump has a stronghold on the Republican base. As NPR's Domenico Montanaro reports, that points toward a potential rematch between Trump and President Biden, who launched his reelection campaign today.
The survey of almost 1,300 people found that 71% of Republicans think Trump should be president again. And even if he's found guilty of a crime, almost two-thirds of Republicans still say they'd vote for him. It shows why Trump is considered the frontrunner for the GOP nomination once again, but there's a huge disconnect when taking voters of all parties into account. Overall, two-thirds of respondents say they do not want Trump to be president again. That includes a whopping 68% of independents. That all makes it hard to see how Trump loses the nomination, but shows he's got a lot of work to do to put together a winning coalition in a general election. Domenico Montanaro, NPR News, Washington.
Entertainment icon and human rights activist Harry Belafonte died today. At the age of 96, he died at his home in New York with his wife Pamela by his side. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has this appreciation.
Harry Belafonte grew up poor. His mother was a domestic worker from Jamaica. He told NPR in 2011 his childhood informed his activism.
The severity of poverty kept us all deeply preoccupied
with our survival.
Belafonte's music and activism brought white and black audiences together for decades.
But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day.
Belafonte was passionate about human rights causes. He helped organize the landmark 1963 March on Washington. His friend, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., once said that Belafonte's popularity was a key ingredient to the global struggle for freedom. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
The Dow was down 344 points today. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Heather Sturt Haga and Paul G. Haga, supporting African Wildlife Foundation, working to ensure wildlife and wild lands thrive in modern Africa. Learn more at awf.org. 70 years here for you. We are KPR.
Stardate, April 25th. Mars is named for the Roman god of war. That's because the planet's red color reminded Roman sky watchers of blood. But ancient Rome isn't the only culture that named the planet for its vivid color. In ancient Egypt, it was the red one. In China, it was the fire star. And in Arabia, it was simply fire. Mars looks redder from afar than from up close. Pictures from orbiters and landers show that most of the surface has a more subtle hue, butterscotch. But big patches of it show other colors, gold, brown, tan, and even green. The color varies depending on the minerals at the surface. And even in the red areas, make that butterscotch, the color is only skin deep. The color comes from a layer of powdery dust that coats much of the surface. Across most of the planet, it's only a few millimeters thick. And even at its deepest, it's only a few feet thick. The dust consists of iron oxides, rust. On Earth, rust usually forms in the presence of water. On Mars, though, it may form from reactions with the atmosphere, or even from erosion by the winds. The winds blow the dust around and suspend a lot of it in the atmosphere, making it look yellow or red as well. Beneath that veneer, the rock tends to be darker, chasing away the red in the red planet. Look for Mars quite close to the moon this evening. It looks like a fairly bright star. The glare of the moon washes out its color, whatever it is. You can find more about Mars in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Thank you.
Don't you just want to take a little dance with me here on KPR? Hi there, I'm Destiny, and that was Beethoven's Minuet in G with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. A very popular tune found in the student literature for young budding musicians, and one of my favorites still. Always puts a smile on my face. I've got a lot of classics this evening that will put some smiles on all of your faces, dear listeners, at around 7:35, a Haydn symphony. You know what else puts a smile on my face? It's World Penguin Day today. Yes! So helping to sponsor today's programming on KPR are longtime supporters Cecilia Mills and Philip Schrott in honor of this World Penguin Day. They hope you will take a little time today to learn more about penguin habits and habitats. After all, learning is what public radio is all about. So thank you to Cecilia and Philip for your generous support. Penguins are so cute, too. Well, I have something that is equally cute, I think, and genius. It is a Mozart piano trio. Three instruments, the violin, cello, and piano. Here on KPR, Mozart's piano trio with Trio Parnassus performing for us. Enjoy.
Thank you.
sometimes I think music can be cute. And that was no exception. Mozart's Piano Trio with Trio Pernicis performing for us here on KPR. I hope you liked that. And I have something coming up at around 7:57 towards the end of the hour. It has the same name as a fish. You know, I love to engage in these guessing games with you. And if I had a live chat going, I would read your potential answers on the air. That's the next step at KPR. I think we need live chat for something like this. All right. Well, if you were around last week, you know we were asking for donations to keep KPR going. And our membership drive, the Campaign for Excellence, wrapped up on Friday with almost 311,000 pledged by our listeners. Every dollar pledged is an investment in this great music, in-depth news, and unparalleled entertainment. Thank you to everybody who made a pledge during the drive. And it's not too late. If you haven't gotten around to it yet, you can still do so online at kansaspublicradio.org. It really, really helps us. Okay, more music to put a smile on your face. Haydn symphonies, they always do it for me. Papa Haydn, such a great writer of symphonies and also quartets and so many things. Let's enjoy this one together. Here on KPR, it's Symphony No. 7 by Haydn and the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
Number 77 here on KPR with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra puts a smile on my face indeed, and I hope it did yours as well. You know what else puts a big smile on my face? If you love public radio but hate the thought of selling your old car, truck, or motorcycle, yeah, you can donate that to KPR, and it really helps us. We will pick it up, and the proceeds from its sale will fund our programs. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org. Now, personally, if you have a convertible that you want to donate just to me, that would be great. I'm just kidding. I'm probably not allowed to say that. All right. Well, we are coming to the end of this hour, and I wanted to play something for you that features the human voice. And we know that Renee Fleming is a beautiful singer, beautiful soprano soloist. And this fish that I alluded to, well, this is actually Schubert's The Trout. And you know he wrote a piano quintet by the same name, but this is actually music that is sung. So let's enjoy it together here on KPR. Renee Fleming, soprano, Christoph Eschenbach, piano, Schubert's The Trout. Enjoy.
In einem Bächlein hänge das Schoß in Ein, die launische Forelle vor ihrer Wehen fein. Ich stand an dem Gestade und sah in Zierzeron des munten Bächleins Bahn, im klaren Bächlein zu, des munten Bächleins Bahn, im klaren Bächlein zu. Ein Fischer mit der Rote wohl an dem Ufer stand und saß mit kaltem Blute, wie sich das Fischlein wand. So lang im Wasser hing, so noch nicht recht verbricht, so fängte die Forelle mit Seicht. So fängte die Forelle mit seiner Angel nicht. Doch endlich war dem Geben die Zeit zu lang. Er macht das Bächlein täglich streben, und eh ich es gedacht, so zog es seine Rote, das Bächlein, das Bächlein tat entlang. Um dich mit regem Blute sah die Betrogene an, und dich mit regem Blute sah die Betrogene an.
Thank you.
Schubert's The Trout here on KPR with Renee Fleming singing and Christoph Eschenbach on piano. I am Destiny. NPR News is up next, and then I have more music for you. Next hour, a violin concerto, Peer Gynt, and a Strauss waltz on KPR.
I'm Leila Faldin. Morning Edition from NPR News makes mornings more bearable.
Scientists at the University of Arizona came face to snout with a satellite picture of what looks like a teddy bear etched on the red planet's surface.
And we always pause for a little joy.
The Puppy Bus is run by a local dog walking and training service called Mo Mountain Mutts.
Join us for the show that never forgets to have fun. All right, I'm done with these puns. Listen every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Celebrating 70 years on the air, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Chief Justice John Roberts tonight released a letter to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Dick Durbin, declining the chairman's invitation to testify about the ethical standards maintained by the Supreme Court. It follows news reports that raise questions about Justice Clarence Thomas and his business dealings. NPR's Nina Totenberg has more.
In his letter, Roberts noted that only two previous chief justices have testified before Congress, and in each case, Roberts said the testimony concerned what he called mundane matters. But accompanying the letter was a 2.5-page statement of ethics principles and practices, which Roberts said all the current justices, quote, today reaffirm and restate. The document does restate what has been said in the past, that the court seeks to abide by the code of conduct followed by the lower courts, but at the same time, the language in this document does explicitly apply to the justices, not just lower court judges. In addition, the Chief Justice said that no justice can determine what another justice will do. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
President Joe Biden made it official today, announcing his intentions to seek a second term and will potentially go up against the candidate he defeated last time, former President Donald Trump, who's also announced his candidacy. Top Democrats have remained solidly united behind Biden, despite concerns on the part of some voters about his age. Biden is currently 80 years old and faces the prospect of starting another 4 years in the White House come 2024. Biden has continued to say he is up for the job. Trump, who's 76, would also be among the oldest candidates in U.S. history. Ronald Reagan was 78 when he left office. Iran is imposing what it calls retaliatory sanctions against individuals and entities in the European Union and the United Kingdom. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports the move comes after the EU and UK targeted a number of Iranian officials for censorship and human rights violations.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry announced sanctions targeting 11 individuals or entities in the EU and another 9 in the UK. The targets include businessmen, members of the military, and others. They came in response to the EU decision to add members of the Iranian Parliament, members of the IRGC, and others to its sanctions list. The British sanctions also included 4 Iranian regional military commanders. Separately, the U.S. Treasury Department on Monday sanctioned 4 senior Iranian security officials involved with the harsh and violent crackdown against protests that broke out after the death of a young woman last fall in police custody. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Stronger than expected first quarter profit numbers for automaker General Motors. The company saying today its profits for the 3 months ending in March were up 19%. The stronger than expected numbers also causing the company to raise full-year earnings guidance. Stocks, however, turned the other way. The Dow was down 344 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and Jarl and Pamela Mohn, thanking the people who make public radio great every day and also those who listen. 70 years here for you, we are Kansas Public Radio. the Town Hall Dance Waltz by Strauss II here on KPR. That was with Maris Janssens and the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. I'm feeling very waltz-like this week with the dancing and the opening the hours. It's, you know, I don't know what it is. Must be something in the air. Well, at around 8:40, I will have something tonight that if you haven't heard it before, I'm sure you will fall in love with it. And if you have, you'll be glad that you get to hear it again. It's the famous Peer Gynt Suite by Grieg. But coming up, I have what I think is an interesting listen, and I'd really like to know what you think about it. It's a violin concerto, and it's not one of the usual five that I think you are used to hearing. It's actually by Schumann. And the great violinist Julia Fischer actually performed this in Kansas City a couple of months ago, I believe it was. And some people are very opinionated about it. So, since I'm a violinist, I picked it, but I also want to know what your opinion is of it. So if you can reach out to the station at kansaspublicradio.org or me directly at destinyviolin.com, let me know what you truly think of this music. I am curious. This is actually with Joshua Bell performing, and it's Christoph von Dohnányi conducting the Cleveland Orchestra. Let's dive in together to Schumann's Violin Concerto here on KPR. Schumann's Violin Concerto here on KPR with Joshua Bell playing violin, Christoph von Dagnani conducting the Cleveland Orchestra. What did you think? Don't forget to let me know at destinyviolin.com or the station, kansaspublicradio.org. Well, I have a beloved favorite coming up, Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite, but first, we've got a Good Classics Live coming up for you on Thursday. Join us for a fresh Rural Joyce recital featuring a great young cellist, Daniel Young, with pianist Alex Lee. Chamber music by Ferenc, Boulanger, Rachmaninoff, and Piazzolla. This Thursday at 7 here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, and 89.7 Emporia. All right, the famous Peer Gynt Suite by Grieg. You know, there was actually an original play by Henrik Ibsen, and this music has certainly surpassed the version of what that play was about. The play was rather dark, but Grieg took a happier and softer approach. There's one funny quote that I want to read to you that Grieg says about his In the Hall of the Mountain King. He confesses in a letter that he hated it because it absolutely reeks of cow pies and trollish self-sufficiency. It's so funny what people think of their own music. Well, let's listen to this together. It is great music. Here on KPR, Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite with Blumstedt conducting the San Francisco Symphony. And there you have it, Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite here on Kansas Public Radio with Blumstedt conducting the San Francisco Symphony. Hi, I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me this evening and listening to music. I always try to program things that I think you might like, but I bet sometimes there are things you don't like. And my challenge that I asked you about last hour was to write me about something that you don't like. And then my job is to find a recording of it that I think you might just like, something that changes your mind. Doesn't that sound fun? I think that could get a little wild. It's easy to get in touch with me. You can reach out to the station at kansaspublicradio.org or find me directly online at destinyviolin.com. NPR News is up next, and then it's Jazz in the Night. And tomorrow, speaking of jazz, I've got something by Gershwin for us and some other really great music. I'll see you then here on Kansas Public Radio.
Hey, I'm Jesse Thorne. On Bullseye, we're all about who makes art and about how they make it. Take, for example, Sudan Archives.
I'm basically getting high, playing violin, putting a bunch of like guitar posts through it, and then I'm resampling that and then making it bop.
Culture comes from great creators. Great creators open up on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR. Saturday morning at 11, right here on KPR.
Celebrating 70 years on the air, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Joe Biden made it official today, announcing in a video his intentions to seek a second term and potentially go up against the man he defeated last time, former Republican President Donald Trump.
Every generation of Americans has faced a moment when they have to defend democracy. Stand up for our personal freedom. Stand up for the right to vote and our civil rights.
Top Democrats have remained solidly united behind Biden, despite concerns on the part of some voters about his age. Biden is 80 now and faces the prospect of another 4 years in the White House starting in 2024. Biden continues to say he's up for the job. Trump, who's 76, also would be among the oldest candidates in U.S. history. Ronald Reagan left office at the age of 78. Most states that ban abortion, including Oklahoma, have exceptions for medical emergencies or for preserving the life of the mother. President NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports a new study published today finds widespread confusion about how to use that exception in practice.
There are currently three overlapping abortion bans in Oklahoma. To understand how hospitals were applying those laws during pregnancy complications, researchers posing as patients trying to decide where to get prenatal care called 34 hospitals in Oklahoma to ask about their policies. They found most hospitals could not explain what their policy is. Dr. Michelle Heisler, professor at the University of Michigan and medical director of Physicians for Human Rights, is one of the study's authors.
In one of the hospitals, a person was trying to be reassuring, and she said, oh, well, you know, in the case of a medical emergency, we would try to use the woman's body as an incubator to just try to keep the pregnancy going as long as possible.
The study's findings were published along with a commentary in the Lancet Medical Journal. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
One of the world's largest tobacco manufacturers, British American Tobacco, is agreeing to pay more than $600 million in penalties to the U.S. government. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports it's part of a history-making settlement with the Justice Department related to the company's illegal sales to North Korea.
British American Tobacco has reached what's known as a deferred prosecution agreement, while the company's Singapore-based subsidiary has pleaded guilty to charges of bank fraud, conspiracy, and sanctions violations. According to court papers, for around a decade, the companies did business with North Korea through a cutout to try to evade U.S. sanctions against the country. As part of the settlement, the companies have agreed to pay penalties totaling nearly $630 million. Here's the head of the Justice Department's National Security Division, Matt Olson.
This is the single largest North Korean sanctions penalty in the history of the Department of Justice.
Olson says this serves as a warning to companies of the costs of violating U.S. sanctions. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks fell today ahead of some critical earnings numbers. The Dow was down 344 points. The Nasdaq fell 238 points. You're listening to NPR. Award-winning singer and actor Harry Belafonte has died. Belafonte was also a dedicated activist, dying at his home in New York today. Belafonte sold millions of records and was also a star of stage and screen, along with supporting civil rights and social justice. The actor worked closely with his friend, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Harry Belafonte died of congestive heart failure. He was 96 years old. McDonald's is seeing more people visit its restaurants as the chain reports a big jump in sales for its latest quarter. NPR's Alina Selyuk reports people have been largely shrugging off higher prices.
McDonald's says sales jumped more than 12% in the first 3 months of this year compared to last year, much more than analysts anticipated. People came more often, even as the company raised prices, though McDonald's executives did say they are starting to see shoppers push back slightly on higher prices, specifically people buying fewer items, for example, not adding the fries to their order. The CEO also said the labor challenges have improved in the U.S., with stores having much less trouble staffing up. Overall, McDonald's is still forecasting a mild recession this year for the U.S. economy and a potentially deeper one in Europe. Alina Selyuk, NPR News.
Rising floodwaters are continuing to affect some rural areas in California. That's after a string of more than a dozen so-called atmospheric rivers that dumped heavy rain. That, combined with melting snowpack, has left some rural areas underwater. Much of that water has been channeled to an agricultural basin, creating a vast lake that had vanished during years of drought. People in the Island District of Kings County have reactivated a crisis network. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive. Progressive Commercial Auto Insurance protects the cars, trucks, and vans that work to keep small businesses moving forward, including protection while running errands and other tasks at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Salt peanuts.
early bebop classics from Dizzy Gillespie opening tonight's Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio. We just heard the tune That's Earl Brother, written by the bassist in the Dizzy Gillespie Sextet in 1946, Ray Brown. Diz on trumpet, Sonny Stitt, alto sax, Vibus, Milt Jackson, Al Haig, piano, Kenny Clark, drums, and Ray Brown on bass. And before that, one of the most famous early bebop pieces, Salt Peanuts. 1945, May 11th, Dizzy Gillespie's All-Star Quintet with Charlie Parker on alto sax, along with Al Haig, Curly Russell, and Sid Catlett, piano, bass, and drums. We took those from a great 3-CD box set, Dizzy Gillespie Odyssey, 1945 to 1952. Well, we got good bebop starting off. I'm Bob McWilliams. We'll hear from our jazz album of the week that they went from pianist Billy Childs, a quartet that includes trumpeter Ambrose Akinmusiri, and we'll do that in about 15 minutes. Right now, one of the real fine albums from this year, it's guitarist Ed Cherry, and the title track to his new release called Are We There Yet? It's Ed Cherry on KPR.